Okay, it is 2:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and it is October 19th. I am meeting with Eduardo Lopez. Eduardo, would you mind telling me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Eduardo Lopez. Most people would just go by Ed already. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm 20 years old. I'm a junior currently, by year, senior by credits, and then I'm also doing my master's program as well currently, the combined program. I'm doing industrial engineering and focusing on engineering systems management as my graduate program. What else? Generic information or?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, just tell me anything about yourself, yeah, that you'd like to talk about.
I'm the IAC president currently for this academic year, and I'm a member of Sigma Beta Chi fraternity.
Okay. Can you explain a little bit more about those for someone who isn't familiar with fraternities?
So fraternities basically is just like a social, for ours it's a social club. Basically we gather, hang out. It's just, I don't know, it's just like a group of guys that like to be with each other just to hang out, have fun. But we also focus on school a lot. Right now we currently, I think we have number one spot or the number two spot for the highest GPA on campus with a 3.4 or around there. And we have a big alumni base. We have range from Arizona to Florida to Puerto Rico up to Canada and then up in the Middle West as well. The fraternity actually was started in St. Louis, which is kind of interesting to me, from being, it's a local chapter. Local means that it's only one chapter of that person. They don't have a national office, for say like Lambda Chi that we have on campus. They're a national organization, which means they have chapters all over the United States. So Sigma Beta Chi will be only be found at Saint Mary's University, whereas Lambda Chi Alpha will be found in Florida, New York, wherever you go. Basically, if they have that chapter, they'll be there.
Okay, gotcha. How did you get involved with your fraternity, and how did you become the new president for IFC?
So basically I got involved in a fraternity without knowing, basically I had, he's currently my big, but he was in my calculus 2 class my freshman year, and he never mentioned that he was in a fraternity. He never mentioned anything. And he was just like, hey, you want to come out and hang out with one of us? I was like, sure. So basically it was just welcoming and everything to me. And, that's what kind of struck me the most. Like it didn't feel like it was being pushed on me. I didn't even know. Like I've hung out with every single one of them, but didn't know they were a part of the fraternity until like they started having like the promotions for like Greek Week and like recruitment week and everything. So that's what found me interesting, especially about this fraternity, that they weren't really pushing the whole thing. They were just like, if you want to be with us, you can be with us. If you don't want to be with us, we're still going to be your friend and everything. That's what I really liked about that. And then my first year as a new member into the fraternity. So new member is just basically you just join. There's a member and a new member. It's just a differentiation. I think the only reason is for like the new member cost is like $20 to have a new member, and then it's like $15 for an active. I think that's really the big difference. But my first year as a new member, I was not told, but like offered the position to run for recruitment chair in IFC. So I decided, I was like, might as well. So for election, we just had to do a 2 to 3 minute speech on why you think you'll be the best person for the position running for. And my freshman year, I ran for recruitment chair. Got elected by the other fraternities as well. It's basically each fraternity has a vote, and they vote who they think would be the best fit. So I got elected as fraternity recruit, IFC recruitment chair my freshman year. And then from there, the following year was like my active year, where in the fall and the spring, that's when I started doing my job with basically promoting recruitment week, seeing, running it, and seeing who's going to be joining, who's not. And then last year, when COVID hit, we went to online voting, and that's when I decided to run for our IFC president. So to become the IFC president, you have to have a year in IFC to become the IFC president. So I decided to run for that position, and I was elected as well for this position, and this brings us up to date now.
Okay, great. Awesome. And could you clarify IFC? What does that stand for?
It's an intrafraternal council. It's basically just like the on-campus executive board for the fraternity. So if they have like an issue, they want to host an event, they come to us, and then we can help them out, plan the event. So most of the charities they donate to, if they want to host an event, they usually just come through us, and we'll approve it, try to be helpful as in any way we can by providing them a space so they can host their event.
Okay, gotcha. What other roles do you take on as the president of IFC?
Currently, I just oversee my five executive board members. So we have from different chapters, and we basically just plan out the entire year, what we want to see, a goal we want to accomplish. The big event coming up is next week. We have Greek Week, and it's going to be online virtual. Mm-hmm. So for us, it was a big task for us to convert what we usually do in person to having new options for online. And especially trying to be inclusive of everyone, trying to make it not very costly, because we know people are still going through a hard time and everything. So basically all the events this week are free. Zoom is obviously free. The people, we have a TikTok challenge or TikTok tournament, basically for the sororities, and that's free. TikTok's free to everyone. Everyone has a cell phone. Mm-hmm. And then for the guys, we have a Warzone tournament, and basically most of the guys already have a gaming console, so, and the game's free for everyone. Mm-hmm. Tuesday we're playing Among Us. It's free for everyone. Can get on the phone. And then Wednesday we have a guest speaker about relationships in college, and then Thursday trivia, which is another free event, and then Friday we have a costume party. So that was the big challenge of finding things that would be free, and that would be interesting to the students.
Mm-hmm. And online too as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about how things have changed with the fraternity system with COVID?
So usually on Sundays, most chapters have their chapter meeting. Basically, they all gather, either basically plan out their week schedule, what they want to do, what they want to see. So that's how I've had it be converted to online. Mm-hmm. Through Zoom, which I don't think that's like the biggest downside to that. I mean, it's convenient for everyone just to be on Zoom. Mm-hmm. But it's also not the same of having everyone in the same room, just being able to see the reactions, and you can feel like the tension, or you can feel like the excitement in the room. Mm-hmm. That's definitely changed. And then another big thing that changes recruitment. We got hit hard this fall, not being able to be there and promote it and actually be able to like be with each other. That's a big thing about recruitment and going into fraternity. It's about the stuff you guys do together. And that's the whole point of a fraternity, is to be together, to have those people close to you that you can rely on the most. And being online, that kind of just takes a big toll on us because we're not able to support someone there when they need us, like in person. Obviously we'll be there online or however we can be there, but it's not the same being next to each other, supporting each other in the game or like intramurals. Most of us play intramurals. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are not on the team, all the other people are usually there on the sidelines supporting each other. But that's just some of the things that were taken away by COVID. But we're making the best we can with everything being online.
Gotcha. How else has COVID affected you as a student at St. Mary's?
Well, all my classes are online.
Okay.
So I don't think like the motivation is there as much as if I was in class. It's just different being at home and not being at school. So currently I'm not on campus or in Texas at all. So being virtual kind of, it made me more responsible of what I had to do. Yes. But it also made me less responsible of what I had to do because it's just like the lack of motivation. Yes, I wake up for every class, 8:20, 6:30 p.m. I'll be there. But it's just the lack of motivation that I really wish I would rather be out doing something than having to be here in class or sitting down for 2.5 hours just staring into a screen, getting the information. But the one thing I've noticed is a lot more things on us are put on us to be more independent studying. So it's kind of a little more difficult because I'm used to being a study group. I like studying with people. And having that change where, well, they're at home, they're going to be a little bit more responsibly at home. Like parents need them to watch the kids or go to the grocery store for them or do something like that. It takes up the study time, which it is a downside, but I mean, it's family. You'll do whatever you need to do for them. But that's the one toll as a student. And honestly, I love being in school. I love the feeling of being in class, being able to learn, see the professor. And I know it's the same on the professor, not being able to see us in person, see our body reactions. And as they can tell, when one person has a certain face, another person has a different face, they can tell that, well, okay, this kid didn't get it. I'll just go over it real quick again. Or this kid did get it. It's like, okay, well, we don't need to go over it again. I think that's just a big difference. Just not being there. It's not the most fun thing, but mm-hmm. it's something we have to deal with, which is not the end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you mind talking? So were you on campus when things started to close down?
Yeah, I actually was.
Yeah. Would you mind talking a little bit about that and what that was like?
So I was on campus. Are you a recent graduate or?
I'm a grad student. So this is my first semester at St. Mary's, but I also am not on campus right now. So.
Yeah. Well for St. Mary's, we closed down in March, like during spring break week. Okay. And for spring break, me and my roommate me and my suite mate decided to drive up to St. Louis, because my other roommate was here. So we decided to just drive up to St. Louis, spend the time, because he's always wanted to come up here and see how it is. So we decided to head out here, and we left on a Tuesday, 12 a.m., like early as possible. We drove through the night. We got here around 4 p.m. on Wednesday, and that's when we got the news that spring break was going to be extended for 2 weeks. So we had a whole week and then another week on top of that to be here. Mm-hmm. And basically they were saying that this extra week was to allow teachers to get you their online certification for teaching. And at first we thought it was like, oh, cool. Like, we don't think nothing big is going to happen of this, but it turned out to be, next week we get an email saying, hey, if you can go back home, go back home. Come get your stuff, go back home. Or If you can't go back home, we'll plan something out. So I know most of the internationals couldn't go back home because their borders already shut down. So I had a couple friends that were forced to stay on campus, basically because not by St. Mary's forced, but by their government, their hometown government, basically closing down the border. So I know my friend from Nicaragua, he was stuck at St. Mary's because they shut down their borders. He had no way of getting home. So I think St. Mary's did the best job they could of accommodating everyone's situation, being understanding that some people just can't go home. They're going to have to stay on campus. As for me, I went, I drove up all the way up here and then had to drive back. And this is when I took my other roommate, the one from St. Louis. We drove down together. The one from Texas flew back early to get his stuff and move out. So we decided to just drive down, pick up our stuff. We took about 2 days to pack, clean up, and head back home. But they gave us about a week to get accommodated, to be like, well, I'll be there on Wednesday. So they set up a time slot for you to get there and how long you're going to be there. So students wouldn't be as a gather or rush anymore. So they would space it out, basically, which was a good option. But yeah, St. Mary's did the best they could to accommodate for everyone's housing needs and anything they needed. They also had a fund distributed. So for me, they gave me, they basically paid for my trip down and back to get my stuff gas wise, which was very helpful. So I really appreciate that from them.
Mm-hmm. What did that feel like, that whole experience when it was happening for you?
It just felt like one big blur. So I'm not sure if you know, but St. Mary's and my home is like 16 hours away. So driving down, and we do it in one straight shot. So driving down there, packing up as quickly as you could, and heading back, it just felt like one long nightmare. Just having to do that, barely sleeping, because you want to get everything quick and done and be as helpful as you can to the school because they're being helpful to us. So me and my roommate, we did the best we could, leaving most of our stuff with one of our fraternity brothers at his garage. They were more than welcome to gather our stuff. And it was just one big blur, basically, just barely sleeping. The most sleep we did was in the car driving. But that's basically the whole feeling. It was just one big blur of everything mushed together and kind of trying to move everything quick and being efficient as possible.
Mm-hmm. So after that initial change with COVID, what have things been like for you since then?
Well, at first, when I got back here, it was different. It was definitely difficult having online class, especially with one of the classes being in lab. Mm-hmm. And, I'm more of an in-person class learner, so obviously it wasn't the easiest for me, but I made do with it, still got good grades, and did my best to be as helpful as I could at home as well. I have a younger sister who also had to go to online. At the time, she was in the second grade, so she doesn't really know that much about a computer, how to be on Zoom, or how to do homework without a teacher kind of explaining things like that. So having her here was like becoming another teacher for her, helping my mom out, because as well, she had to be transferred from her job to at home job, so she had to do all the transfers and everything. And then my dad was also hit hard with the jobs and everything, so it was just a different aspect to everything. You had to be more cautious of where you go, what you did, and then most of the things here were closing down, so most of the places where grocery stores and banks were shut down just to drive through, but grocery stores and like pharmacies and everything, that's what remained open for a limited amount of people. But other than that, during the summer, it kind of changed. The numbers were starting to go down, so people started opening up again. I started working with my dad. We do construction, so it's not really that many people we're interacting with. It's more of an independent work, so there's four of us in a team, and we know where we've been and everything. Basically, we're all family, so that was good. And then from there, it was just waiting to see what school decided to do for the fall. And this is where they decided that everything will be online. They told us, I think, in about early August, before we moved down. So we had to change that up. The plan was to go back to school, but since everything was online, there was no point of having to go back to school when I can do everything from here on my computer. But that's the biggest change, basically just waiting for school to also decide, because they have a big task of seeing what they have to do, following the Bexar County rules and what they, and the government rules, whatever they need to do best for their students.
Gotcha. Is there anything, last question, is there anything that you would like to add or share about your experience at St. Mary's during this year? And with COVID?
No, not really. I don't know. I'm kind of understanding of the whole situation that I know most graduates didn't really get the graduation they wanted, which probably wasn't the best option. But I just think it's, yes, it's sad that they didn't, but it's a good thing that they didn't. That this is basically for everyone's health concerns. So you don't know who's going to be there, grandma, grandpa. They could be, they wanted to be there as well, but it's just something that everyone had to understand that the school's doing the best they can. They can't control what's going on. They try to do everything they can to prevent it, which I think they've actually done a pretty good job of this semester with only, I think, 3 cases on campus, and those have been controlled. But I think they've done a phenomenal job of everything, accommodating to everyone's needs and making sure that people are staying safe, that people get the attention they need from the teachers. That one big thing that's been discussed in the student advisory boards is that students need the mental health as well. So teachers are more lenient of, you know what, this class is an hour and 15 minutes. Let's take a 10-minute break halfway through, which is reasonable. It's super nice, and it's really helpful for the students to get out, go to the bathroom, grab a quick snack, do something, stretch your legs, which I just think the school's done a phenomenal job and everything.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to quit recording.